Careers and Money Part 2, we got you to the job. You've been there a while, you're happy, you love life, you love who you work with, but how do you get a pay rise? What's the best way to approach your boss? G'day, Glenn James here. How are you? I'm just talking to myself. We've got a guest today, Shell. Hi, Shell.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we will get on to you, but broadly speaking, you're in HR and you've got a big team that you work with and people report to you. So, you've got a good understanding of the inner workings of a company and the culture and all that stuff.
Yes.
John wouldn't know anything about working for an employer, would you?
Haven't been in it for years, Glenn, but yeah. Welcome.
Thanks. Are you welcoming me or Shell?
I'm welcoming everyone here today.
To swing back around, last episode, it was about how do I get into the door? How do I get the new job? What's some chances to change careers or pivot or whatnot? But I thought, that's not for everybody. What if someone works somewhere and they love where they work? Mm. I mean, so we're going to cover a heap of questions that people sent in via Instagram. Shell's going to answer them. So without further delay, let's get into it. You ready, y'all?
Ready.
You're listening to My Millennial Money. Whether you're in a bank branch, your broker's office, or Hanoi, at My Millennial Money, we believe it's okay to walk away from a bad deal.
All right, we're going to just dive straight into it. Mitch on Instagram and everyone listening today, we're literally just going to shoot Shelley questions because we want to get through as much as possible. And they're your questions. You've written in, we've had a look at them and tried to curate the most perfect podcast.
Yes.
Mitch has asked, what's the best way to go about getting a pay rise?
Yes. So the first thing I would say to Mitch is that we really need to be prepared. So my preferred approach when having a conversation with an employee about pay is that they bring along some form of documentation to support the conversation. So I think that my take is that really helps because it represents that that employee has put in an initiative. They've gone through, they've thought about what they want to talk through and that they've, displayed the energy that's needed around pay conversations. So a good way, I think, to look at this is if I was starting a business and I was wanting to go to you, Glenn, as an investor and say, hey, Glenn, I'm really keen for you to invest in my business, I would bring along a business proposal with me. I think in the same way when we're talking about pay conversations, we're really essentially asking our employer or our boss to invest in us. Mm. And so it's the same kind of approach. So bring along a proposal that outlines why they should invest more money in you.
And also sometimes to invest more in us because you might be paid more than the market. You might not know that. They might know that.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Mm.
So you're showing your hand with loyalty. Is it okay, I'm here for the long term. This is what I've got to deliver. I'm not here for the next 6 months and I'm away. Is that a good pre-frame to?
Yeah, I think it's really good to state your that you are intending to be there in the long run. I think sometimes the risk around these conversations is that the employer can, if they're going to invest more, they're going to want more from you.
Yeah.
So
Bradley has asked for some specifics around preparing. So what should Bradley cover in this document?
Yeah. So I think for Bradley, it would be keeping it simple. So I recommend just doing a one-page document. And I think there's a few things that we can try and capture on this document. So the first one I would look at is, okay, Bradley, what have you achieved over the last 12 months that's helped improve the business performance? We've talked about in some of our conversations around past performance is the best indicator of future performance. So having that kind of...
Heard that somewhere?
Well, investing, it's the other way. We can't guarantee this share price is going to keep going.
So the good old J curve, is it? Producer J curve.
Yeah, right. So I actually don't know. Can you just unpack that?
The J curve essentially means, well, we're bottomed out and we're on the way up.
Oh, okay, yep. So
I like to call it a hockey stick. But
A hockey stick.
A hockey stick, okay.
Yeah, being the athlete.
If you'd said hockey stick, I would have known.
Yeah.
First thing, what have you achieved in the last 12 months? Second thing on your document is, what do you plan to achieve this year that's beyond it's beyond baseline of the role. So what are the, I guess, KPIs you're going to exceed? It could be how you're driving customer satisfaction and so on. So then after that, the third thing I would do is make sure you're connecting those things to the business strategy. So sometimes when we're having conversations about a pay rise, we kind of fail to forget that the ultimate goal for a business is to achieve their strategic objectives. So if we align what we're asking for with that business strategy, we're going to have more chance of success when it comes to talking about pay, because the employer wants to hear that we understand the needs of the business and that we want to deliver on those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, I suppose, a side note to that, with the bigger companies that are on the stock exchange, etc., it's a juggling act, I suppose, for them between appealing to the shareholders versus appealing to their employees.
Yeah.
Because usually they've got to take one from the other.
Yeah, and I guess it can be really hard as well. Like, if you're in a government job, like, good luck getting a pay rise, maybe. I don't know. But I will say as well, as a... you know, Shell talked about the strategic objectives, and that's real in a lot of organizations. But if you're an employee and you work for a one-man show, if you're an employee and you work for a small business and there might be one senior guy or gal who worked in the business and you're the second person, you know, the strategic objectives for that small business owner is to make money.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you helping them make money? And Shell, would you maybe agree with me that maybe before you go in, somehow do a self-check? Like, actually, hang on. Have I actually added value? Is this ridiculous? Like, don't get caught up in your own world so much that you think the world owes you. I'm not sure.
Just because you got to pay for your kid's education or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think on that, one of the risks or hazards is that when you go to ask your boss for a pay rise, that you come across like you're putting your own financial position above the financial position of the business. And that's a huge risk, because no manager or employer wants to kind of hear that an employee is more concerned with their own financial position than with fulfilling their job, because that's actually what you're paid to do your job. So I think you were telling me, Glenn, the other time that we kind of connected around, there was someone who contacted you to let you know that they'd worked really hard for a period of time and then didn't even need to ask for a pay rise.
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to get that and read it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that was actually really cool. Yeah, so when we were prepping for this interview, I was telling Shell, like, on that day, I got a Facebook message from a girl called Sophie. Hey, Glenn. I'm a late joiner, but I'm dead set loving your podcast. Yeah, it's John's kind of as well, but whatever. I recently listened to How to Get a Raise and started working extra hours and letting my boss know that I wanted to take on more. I was about a week out from having a sit-down chat when he just gave me a pay rise out of the blue because he said I'd been working hard and that I'd earned it. Thank you so much for all the tips and giving me the confidence just to do it. See, that right there is amazing, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, just... had the decision that I want to add some value,
yeah.
I want to step up, and the money should take care of itself.
That's right.
Yeah, and the big word there is should, shouldn't it? Like, you can add a whole heap of value in the workforce and see no reward for it, and it really depends on who's at the top, right?
That's
would you
right.
see yeah. a lot of that?
So,
I think that's a really good point in terms of our goal would be, that's the best case scenario, the best way to ask for a pay rise is not have to ask.
Yeah.
And
that's
it.
Like, the best preparedness that Sophie could have done was just work hard and add value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just swinging back around, like, preparation is so important. What else helps when we need it? Well, when we want to ask for a pay rise.
Yeah. So I think once you've done your document, you've got that really well prepared. The next thing I would say is... that influences the success of this conversation would be your confidence. So I've seen people do this in lots of different ways. I think it's important to articulate that confidence is not arrogance. And so...
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it?
Mm.
Because I've been accused of being arrogant before. Well, no, I am. Sorry.
Just bluntly, I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at least you're self-aware.
At least I'm confident in my arrogance.
I think that's a bit more about social awareness, isn't it? Like you can be very confident in your own self, but when you're around people, I suppose you got to manage that based on the social.
That's right. And I think confidence is just being aware of the value that you add and being able to articulate that well. So still articulating in a way that's respectful and like aligns with the culture of the workplace you're in, but being able to say, hey, this is I do think that I drive value and I do think that I'm deserving of a pay rise, because without that confidence, it can really backfire in these conversations that we're having around pay. So
just a question on confidence. Maybe one strategy is that you categorically know you are worth 20 grand more or 10 grand more or 5% more or whatever it is more in the real world marketplace. And that might be you've been headhunted or you've talked to other people in similar positions, or you just know that it is time that I'm paid more. I would say number one, if you are looking for other work, the best thing to do is just talk to your people first in a non-threatening shakedown way. It's like, hey, just, and it might not even be a pay rise discussion. Hey, it might be like, hey, been hearing stuff out there. I don't know. I really like working here. Can we just have a real talk about my future here? Because, you know, the grass isn't always greener.
No. Yeah.
So no. I don't know. Like, I always say communication's the problem and the solution. And when I employed people, the last thing I would want would be to be surprised if they came and just, there's my resignation, see you later. Like, it shouldn't have got to that.
Yeah.
And I always like to think, well, if it is time, let's chat about it and I'll help you transition out, which I did with one of the employees.
But I suppose in a bigger organization,
it's a bit more clinical.
It might get watered down a bit more, wouldn't it? Like, unless you have constant reviews.
Actually, just on that, like if you're in an organization and there's a lot of corporate hierarchy and the manager that you report to maybe has no say on salary or say on anything, how do you work with that dynamic, Shell?
Yeah, I think it's finding the channels that are right within that context. So there may be, okay, well, my manager may not have the decision-making authority on pay, but their manager might. And so how do I get a conversation, say, with my immediate manager and the one up?
And both.
And both together. Yep. And also, how do I, is it that I talk to HR? Because some organisations centralise their remuneration. Yep. And so maybe it's talking with that HR person.
And I guess that's a lot to do with that social and corporate awareness that this is the way it works.
Yeah.
But also, like, don't be a little brat to your manager, because they're talking about you to their people.
Yeah.
That's
like,
right.
It's simple as that.
Yeah. So just on confidence, Shell, you've got a story about the time you asked for a pay rise. Can you tell us what happened there, please?
Yes, I do. So I guess in my first real job out of school, it was the first time I've ever asked for a pay rise. And so I was in a full-time job in an office, and one of the team members left. And so when she finished, the managing director decided that I would take on kind of her role. It was an awesome career opportunity, but it did mean that I was absorbing her full-time job into my full-time job. So I was thinking at the time, okay, well, I'll take this on for an interim period. There was no conversation about pay, so there was no pay change initially. And so I went in, and I about 3 months in, I started to realize how difficult it was and how hard it was. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get a bit gutsy and talk to the managing director. And at that, like you said, Glenn, at that point in time, my actual immediate manager wasn't the person responsible for pay. So I had to go to the managing director. And for me, that one-up level was a bit scary.
So had the manager and director seen the work that you've been doing, the workload and the extra responsibility?
I think they were aware, but I don't think they were like acutely aware of, you know, how much work was involved with doing the dual full-time roles. So anyway, I decided, okay, I'm going to book this meeting in with him, and booked it in. And the day before, I was kind of thinking it all through, briefly prepared. I didn't put together any documentation, but on the day, I was so nervous. Like I think like just before the meeting, I would have been like actually sweating and just
Amazon palms, tropical rainforest hands.
So nervous. And so I was, preparing. I waited to go in. He let me into his office. It was kind of a formal environment. And when he was sitting down, I don't even think I sat down. I was so awkward. I just think I stood there.
So all your awareness left the building.
That's right. And like office etiquette, obviously I hadn't learned that yet. And so just basically asked him, hey, I've been doing this job. I've taken on the role of this person as well as doing my own full-time job and I haven't had a pay rise. And so would it possibly be possible in this awkward, like super reluctant and apologetic way that you might maybe consider me for a pay rise? Anyway, he just was like pretty like deadpan for a while and I'm awkwardly standing there like would have been like the funniest body language and weirdness. And then he just basically just went, no.
Oh.
And, nothing else.
And just like, look, you've only been doing it for 3 months and you're not ready for a pay rise and I haven't seen the value. So,
jeez.
And it was pretty, I mean, for me, that was such a good learning curve. Mm. I look back now and think, oh my goodness, what was I doing? Like, didn't prepare, I'm meeting with the managing director. I should have put together some form of document.
Business case.
Evidence. Yeah.
And I just went in and expected that he would know that I was doing more work and that, and was so unconfident in my request that.
And so did you book a meeting with him or ambush?
I booked. Okay. So it was booked in, but I didn't have any prep. Like I didn't prep him to say, hey, here's what I want to talk through. I want to talk about a pay rise. I want to talk this, this and this, which is, you know, rookie error because no one wants to have those conversations without knowing. So he wouldn't have known what I was even there for, just that I'd wanted to book this meeting.
Yes. So how would someone go in confident and not be you?
Yeah, not be me. So lesson learned, don't be me.
Yeah. Well, you booked the meeting. You did that right.
Yeah, I booked the meeting. So I think looking back on that situation, my general sense is confidence transfers. So if I walked into that conversation confidently, I suspect my managing director would have gotten that vibe and picked up on it. And so for people who want to have these conversations, I think confidence is available to anyone. I don't think it's just for the super charismatic. I think it's anyone can be and can develop confidence. But the key thing I would be saying is practice, 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 practice.
What's your view on taking these meetings off-site out of the office if it can be arranged or if it permits?
Bit of a walk and talk.
Yeah, or just like, hey, can we grab a coffee type thing?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean,
neutral territory.
Yeah, and a bit less formal. I think that was the vibe when I was walking into my director's office. It felt very formal. And I think when you go to a cafe, you sit down over a coffee, some of these tougher conversations that can feel a bit like taboo can be a lot easier in a more chilled environment. Mm-hmm.
So Katie has asked, how do you arrange a meeting about pay and who should you ask to meet with, your manager or HR?
Yeah, so thanks, Katie. Good question. I think the first thing is to talk to your manager. I would say if your manager feels like you've gone and say talk to HR first, they'll feel bypassed and that won't help or aid the conversation.
And no, on no human level does somebody want to be blindsided or bypassed.
Yes, absolutely.
Like it's as simple as that. No. You've got to, actually, everyone read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People. Like it's a million years old, but you've got to actually just show honor, show respect. Even if you don't like the person, you've got to show honor and respect to their position.
Yeah. Yes.
And the system.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. If you're conscious that, okay, this person may not, we might not get along heaps well, there is that responsibility for the position. I love how you've just put that. And I think the simple thing for Katie is just ask.
Yeah.
So first up, I would verbally ask. So I just verbally mentioned, said, Glenn, if I was working for you, I'd come up and say, hey, Glenn, I'd love to have a conversation with you about my role and I'd love to talk to you about pay. Are you able to meet? Do you have time next week? I'll book in a meeting. I'll send you some documentation. And I just really love your perspective on it.
Yeah.
So one thing I love that you've touched on there, you've dropped the grenade, but you've kicked the grenade down the road a week. So it's like, hey, I want to do this. Not urgent.
Yes.
Can we do it next week sometime? I know in some small businesses, you might have the discussion, 3 months goes by and nothing happens. Mm. I think you do need to set a time, but don't, again, kick down the door, you know, surprise them. It's not bloody George Bush invading Iraq again.
The key part there
Am I allowed to say that?
You're mentioning to them that pay will form part of the discussion.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not hiding from that.
Yeah, and I think it's good to, that way that even if you're booking that calendar invite for the following week, it is just good to verbally reference it. I love yeah. And that you're giving the space and time, and you're going to give them the,
on their terms as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And they might say, well, look, no, next week doesn't work, but happy to do it the week after. And I think it is good up front to agree on actions as well for follow-up. So you might do the verbal conversation. Glenn, I want to meet. I'm going to book something in. Send you the document. Then you have.
So would you say send them the document 1 or 2 days before the meeting?
Yeah, so they can review
not on
it.
That morning.
Yeah.
Because they might need to talk to their the CFO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything you need from me, et cetera?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, it does depend on your context. You might just show up with it on the day. But I think the more information you can give up front, the better your manager's going to feel, and you won't blindside them like you were saying, Glenn.
Here's a tip from Unky Glenn over here. You're listening to this. So, walk in, sit down, it's about pay, right? And be like, hi, Shell. Just thanks for taking the time to meet with me today. Look, I just want to have a chat to you about a pay decrease. And just be like, no joking.
I want to work for less.
Yeah. Have you ever been asked that before? Lol, break the ice. Yeah. Just kidding. 12%. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it.
I would do it that way. But you've got to play to your personality. And, you know, if they've got a rod up their backside, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Can I say that?
And I think that's where that confidence comes in, doesn't it? Like, you know, you've got to understand the personality of the person that you're walking into.
Yeah.
And another question, like, if you've been at a place for, if you're new to a place, probably can't be having these conversations within the first 12 months.
Yeah.
Unless it's been agreed we will review after 6 months.
Yeah. I think 12 months is generally the norm for when you would start having a conversation. You wouldn't have it, if you've been there 6 months.
Unless it's a sales role and
you're not
a commission, you're absolutely slaughtering it and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a question. Well, actually, Becky has one. What up, Becky? She's in the NPF sector, the non-for-profit sector. It's hard to ask for a pay rise when there isn't a lot of dosh laying around. I said dosh, she said dollar signs. How do you ask for a pay rise in the non-for-profit sector?
Yes. And I'm really glad Becky's asked this, because this is the space I've worked in for a while. And so I think it is important to know your context, know the culture that your organisation has around remuneration. In a not-for-profit organisation, pay is not the driving force of why people come to work at those organisations. It's generally the cause and the mission of the organisation.
So without sounding, I suppose, naive, do corporations like that take advantage of that fact?
Well, I guess that's the risk is that, organisations in that context may overemphasise cause at the expense of effectively rewarding and recognising their talent through pay. I think that's a really good question. And one of the things that I would say for Becky is, just as much as the private sector, the not-for-profit sector needs to be having conversations about pay just as often, they may just look slightly different. So instead of going in, we need to talk about it just as much, but it may be that instead of going in for, say, a 10% pay increase, you're looking more around your 3-5%, because possibly funds are tighter, maybe that culture is different. But I do still think that definitely Becky needs to use the same approach, have the conversation, get prepared, but still be confident that you can talk about pay in a not-for-profit context.
Without feeling threatened or taboo, because it is a not-for-profit.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point, like, are we saying, well, there's clearly no money here, I'm taking Friday off, please, every second week? Like, at what point do you start horse trading?
Yeah, like looking at, do you mean looking benefits, at benefits instead? Yeah. For sure. And that's one big advantage that I would say that you can talk through. In terms of, in a not-for-profit context, if Becky is hearing from her manager that, okay, well, there isn't extra funds for XYZ, I'd be starting to have a conversation around, what about my professional development? Can you be investing in training, in courses, in my uni course? Or also, can I have a flexible work arrangement where I work a 4-day week as a compressed work week and have every Friday off?
So not all about the dollars.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
The other thing to note, I'll just say on not-for-profit, is that generally not-for-profits have fringe benefits arrangements. And so it's good to be aware of actually how that impacts your salary in comparison to the private sector, because that can mean your salary could look, your actually take-home pay looks very different, and it is a huge benefit. So it's just being conscious of some of those other wins that are happening.
Yeah. So a loose example for those not in that sector, you might be paid based on the market of 90K, but you receive $60,000 as a salary and maybe $15,000, I'm making this up, as a fringe benefit,
yep,
which you can use for
mortgage
yep, any of your expenses. Mm. But because they're a non-for-profit, the organization doesn't get taxed on the fringe benefits.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get that 15K, you gross that up, it could look like you're on a 90K package. And that goes back to that social awareness and corporate awareness that, hey, you're actually on a pretty good thing here.
That's right.
So it's just to be aware.
And I think to educate yourself around your own pay and what the market's paying externally, I think sometimes we assume, and I get a lot of that vibe when we're having conversations about pay, that the employees made a lot of assumptions that are actually just incorrect.
Yeah.
But make sure you do your research, because if you go in asking for way more than what's in the marketplace, that's going to throw your employer off. And, and
yeah, and be very clear. Like if there's a position advertised at 80K, just be very aware, is it 80K plus super? Is it 80K package?
Yes.
Because you might get tripped up there.
Yeah.
That's right.
And just on that, it's now becoming harder and harder for employers to skip paying people super, because it's got to go through an ATO clearinghouse now. So the ATO are really cracking onto that, and they're also cracking onto general pay. And there's a thing called one-touch payroll, where, loosely speaking, the ATO sees all payments.
Yeah. Which is so good. It's such an important part of your salary and your total remuneration.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
it's awesome to see that happening.
So Jessica has asked a great question. How much should you ask for compared to what you're actually currently on?
I reckon this is one of the toughest questions. So thanks so much, Jessica, for asking. I think, as we mentioned, first thing to do is check the market. So Payscale is a really good website. I don't know if you've seen it, that just gives you an indicator as to...
I'm opening it right now.
Okay. Are you going to check how much you should be paid? How much? Anyway. So, Payscale, jump on, have a look. And like you said, keep in mind super, and that may mean that roles are paid looking like they're 10% higher, but they're actually not.
Yeah.
So that will just give you a reference point. So if you're currently paid in your job 55K... and externally it's paid 60K, you've then got that ballpark figure of what you need to and what you could possibly request if you go into that pay conversation.
Yeah, so I'm on payscale.com, and then I've got Australia as the country, and it's got popular jobs, graphic designer, medium salary, 51K. That would have to be excluding super. Operations manager, 82K.
What's it say for podcast host?
Probably zero.
Zero.
Cost me to do this thing. Office administrator. The median is $23 an hour, up to about $30 an hour. Oh, this is really cool.
It is. Mm. And it just gives you that good reference point, and you can do it based on location. So you can get a read of if you're in Sydney, what does that look like compared to regional?
No results found for podcaster.
Nothing.
Damn. Yeah. I'm just going to do
you should. You might be able to submit one.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. Because
nothing. And here we go. Financial advisor. Average salary for a financial advisor in Australia, 71K.
And so I think sometimes this is helpful because it's a bit of a reality check, because I think the natural thing, when you've been doing a job for a while, you start to get used to the salary and then you start to assume that you're underpaid. I don't know if that's something in the human, behavior.
You always hear something, grass always greener sort of thing. But does it come back to, like, you may see or be offered a job that's 10K or 15K more attractive to get you in the door, but the conditions are far less appealing to you. I mean, you don't even find that out when you jump ship.
That's right. Or the work hours are, like, far higher, and those kinds of things that... it is more than money, what we go to work for. It's but
fulfillment as well.
That's right.
Massive fulfillment.
That's right. Yeah. So I think we're looking at, it just gives you that reference point when you check the market. The other thing I would recommend is just have a look at what's happening economically. So John talked to us about how CPI is sitting at around 1.5. And I think that means that, okay, well, external...
That was inflation.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And so if we're looking at what is happening economically and then what are we seeing from Fair Work? So Fair Work this year did a 3% minimum wage rise. And so that gives us an indicator of, all right, ballpark, I'm probably looking around somewhere between, and I would do it by percentage if I was going to submit an increase. I wouldn't do it by dollar figure. So yeah. I would say somewhere between 3% and 8% ballpark is where you should put your...
For run-of-the-mill pay rise.
That's right. Yep. That's right. And I think that is based on what's happening at the moment. We're seeing really low wage growth externally. So I would be encouraging people to land somewhere in there. I think that's reasonable. And then do it by percentage, not by dollar.
Yeah, sweet. Karen asked, how can you negotiate a salary? Karen has asked, how can we negotiate salary when moving internally? That's an interesting one, that one.
Yeah. It's funny. It doesn't actually happen that often. I don't think people engage in that negotiation, or well, I haven't seen it happen very often in my environment. And I think for Karen, I'd be saying ask early in the interview stage for the salary range. Sometimes we think that if we ask about the salary in an interview process, they're going to get weird.
Mm.
Like, oh, they're just in it for the money. Well, you're doing a job. You get paid for it.
I'm not here for free.
That's right. So ask early about what the salary range is and then communicate your expectations around pay. So for Karen, I'd be saying, okay, I'm hearing you, the salary range is this. My expectations were this. What does that mean? Does that mean that, like, could we consider that salary that I'm putting forward, or what are you thinking? What's your perspective?
Do you see, Shelley, that it may depend on who's got the upper hand, i.e. I want you to come and do this role for us within the company versus putting your hand up to come and do a role similar to that?
Yeah, and I think that's such a good question, because if it's a direct appointment, you probably feel that power dynamic more than if it's an interview process and you've got a little bit of option to discuss it. I do think my vibe from seeing internals go through these kinds of processes is they often they have more opportunity to discuss these things than they realize, and that they don't actually exercise that enough.
Well, it's cheaper in business. It's cheaper to keep a client than get a new client, generally speaking. And I'd imagine if you're an employer, it's cheaper to keep an employee because you don't have to retrain recruit and use all those resources to get new talent.
Yeah. Mm. And I think it goes back to what types of conversations do we want to be having at work? Because from my end as a HR person, I would love when staff are honest and authentic and open. And so if an internal came to me and said in a respectful way of, look, this is the salary I was kind of hoping for. I see this, and this as being a challenge with the role. And I feel like I'd be expecting this to be remunerated in this way. That's a good conversation to be having. Mm. It's real, it's honest, it's upfront. And those are the kinds of discussions I think. And I think Karen is capable and able to have that in her context, but you need to kind of be confident and gutsy.
Yeah. Mm. And just on getting a new position, there was a question and I can't find it now, but somebody asked, they've got annual leave booked and they want to get a new job. Absolutely. When you get the new job, tell them up front, hey, I've got this time booked in. We need to work around this or whatever. Don't accept the job and then the day after you get the job, say, oh, can I go away? So, again, the power is in your hand before the appointment. And I guess sometimes in the corporate roles where there's, you know, huge hierarchy, sometimes it's easier for people to get more money simply by going elsewhere because they're perceived better or whatever from not within. I don't know. I fumbled around saying it, but you've seen a million people ask for a pay rise. What should people avoid when asking their boss for a pay increase?
Yes. So there's a fair few things. I've seen them done well and seen them done poorly. And I think one of the common themes where a pay RISE conversation doesn't go well is when there's a vibe or a sense of entitlement on part of the employee. And so I think that's a really good thing to look out for. If you are approaching these kinds of conversations, I would just say, I think you were talking about before, doing a sense check, Glenn. I think the common theme where these conversations don't go well is where there's a vibe or sense of entitlement on part of the employee. And so that can come out in a number of ways. It can come out in the tone. So it can also come out in the behavior or attitudes. Some of the underlying thought patterns around entitlement are they owe me or I have a right to an increase. And my general sense is no one has a right to a pay increase unless you're on an award or an enterprise agreement. So most people, most employers don't have to give you a pay rise. And so if you've got any sense of they owe me in the conversation, that's not going to bode well for how your manager or boss sees this conversation.
And this is really weird, but I know the best way to get a pay rise. Some of you have already done it, but the best way is to get an automated spending plan and freaking control your money at home before you worry about going getting more to bring home you can't control. So
absolutely.
I have coached, I can't tell you how many people that live week to week, can't get ahead, just set them up on an automated spending plan.
So good.
The amount of money that they can actually save once it got a freaking system in place.
I think that was one of the first things you said to me when we caught up about my cash flow coaching. Yeah. It was, you can get a pay rise, just get better at managing your money.
Absolutely.
So yeah. You were the example
here. Yeah, basically.
It was a weird case study, but look, it worked out. It worked out relatively well.
Are you sick of living week to week or perhaps not having any money saved or even stressing out when Reggio comes around? It might feel that your life just goes round and round and round because your money's going around and round and round. I've got a solution. We can change your life within a matter of weeks. It's the Glenn James Spending Plan. The people who have completed this course have paid off credit card debt, have money saved, feel more free than ever before, and this will happen within the first couple of pay cycles. So follow the link in the show notes wherever you listen to this podcast, use the promo code, and change your life like hundreds of My Millennial Money listeners have done so already. I look forward to seeing you in the course and helping you really sort your money out. Hey, just a reminder, we run two other podcasts, My Millennial Money Property. It's about property, that's all. And if you're under 23 years old, Gen Z Money, it's for you. Check them out now wherever you're listening to this podcast.
So what I'm hearing is be authentic, have a good work ethic, be nice to people around the workplace, be genuine. I mean, if you've been an ass and then all of a sudden on the day you want to pay rise, you're really nice, they'll see straight through you.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's being a team player and all those things. It doesn't seem to be rocket science.
So, John, in the corporate world and the client value proposition world and all that stuff, there's a thing called the elevator pitch.
Yes.
So if you jumped in an elevator with somebody, you've got 15 seconds before it hits the ground. So imagine yourself, you've got this new business, you see an investor, you both hop into the lift. So you say hi, they say hi, you've got 15 seconds to pitch them about your business. So Shell, what's your elevator pitch to those listening that they could poach for a pay rise?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to pitch to you, Glenn, as my potential employer about a pay rise. My elevator pitch in 15 seconds would be, hey, I'm glad I've caught you because I'd love to talk to you about my role and about the possibility of being considered for a pay rise. As you know, I've been working with you for 18 months. I love working alongside you and I love helping you to achieve the business goals. And so I've been thinking about some of the value that I drive in my role and wanted to kind of talk that through further. Do you have any time next week where we could possibly sit down and have a bit of a conversation? Because I'd love to hear your perspective.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Oh, ground floor. Yep, sweet. Next Thursday, let's chat about it.
Amazing.
Now, can that be an email?
I would.
What would you prefer?
I would much prefer a conversation.
Yeah.
Would you? And that would be a majority, you think?
I don't know. That's just my preference. If it was one of my team members, and shout out if they listen. If it was one of my team members, I would please ask me verbally first.
Because at the end of the day, it's just you're all workers. It's not as if, you know, it's all good. Like,
yeah.
Can I practice on John?
Go
I
for elevate it.
A feet. I'm yeah. standing up.
Are you going to stand up?
So, John. 30
seconds.
Okay.
30 seconds. It's a long elevator ride. Right. Yeah.
John's got to go, but okay.
When we're in one of Glenn's hotels, he's at the top floor usually, so he's got a bit more time to pitch.
I've changed. I hate the top floors now in hotels because when you get out in the morning, it's the bloody all stops to the bottom.
Yeah. Annoying.
Mm. It's so annoying. We just want to get out of there.
It happened in Brisbane, didn't it?
Yeah. Hey, John, how are you, mate?
Good, Glenn. How are you?
Oh, mate, I have been better, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
Look, you know I've been working with you for 3 years now.
Yes. It's been a long time. Gone quick, though.
Oh, for some. Mate, question. Can we catch up maybe next week, next fortnight or so?
Mm-hmm.
Just want to have a bit of a chat to you about my pay and how I can work in your business going forward, because I love it here, as you know.
Yeah, sure.
But just want to get focused for the next couple of years in my life.
Yeah, okay. So you want to build a pool or...
build a plunge pool?
Why?
You need more money for your pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now we can catch up around that.
What the hell's going on? All right, we've got to go. Thanks for listening, guys. Shell, thanks so
much
for having us.
Thanks for having me for the first time ever.
Thanks for round two.
Okay, bye-bye.
See ya.
If you are after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. In fact, it's a general advice podcast. But if you do want somebody to talk to, jump onto sortyourmoneyout.com and click on Get Help, and I'll be able to put you in touch with an advisor or a mortgage broker who can actually sit down with you or have a Skype or a Zoom meeting and really work out what you need based on your own personal circumstances.
My Millennial Money supports A21. A21 is a non-profit organization that exists to abolish slavery everywhere. These guys rescue real people from human trafficking across the world. If you want to learn more about how you can contribute to the fight against human trafficking, check out a21.org/au.
Remember, we hang out on Insta at My Millennial Money. If you're a regular listener, you're welcome to join our Facebook group. If you want more money hacks, be sure to subscribe to My Millennial Money Express. It's short money hacks anywhere, anytime, right into your ears. Any advice on this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Getter Proprietary Limited, trading in Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.
Now, one thing you might not have known, John. Can you hear that?
Yeah. Can you do your clap?
Nah, I'll just do it. Now, John.
Glenn.
Real talk.
Yeah.
One thing you do not know, Shelley, Laura's sister.
Go away.
All right, I'm out of here. So Laura, thanks for your service, and you've been upgraded. So,
I'm glad to think that I'm the upgrade.
Yeah, definitely.
Similar voice now that I think of it.
I think Shell seems more professional.
That's right.
Yeah.
So. I'd like to say, I put that on my resume, more professional than my younger sister.
Yeah, looks killer in an 80s power suit, all that stuff.
80s power suit. I do like to channel the 80s, so.
there you go.
Good times, the 80s.
Now, John.
I've known.
For John and all the listeners at home, remember we did that episode about FOMO?
Mm.
And I basically did that because I had FOMO with an event in America was going to go to, and I wanted to go, but I couldn't end up going, and because I was actually going to stay for Laura's wedding. So, I didn't end up buying the ticket. And then my other friends... the guys, Glee Coffee Roasters, who we support, or they support us, or whatever. You can go to gleecoffee.com.au/M3, I think. No, hang on, I'll do that again. you can go to gleecoffee.com.au and put M3 in the checkout and you'll get some discount off their coffee. Anyway, Ben, one of the directors, one of the Glee brothers, was judging a coffee championship in Nashville later this year. So I thought, oh.
I can see where this is going, shall
I? I can just go up there. I've got nothing else to do.
No.
So I went and bought the ticket, and a few of you who were listening at the live events, you know, I was talking about how I got the ticket on sale, so I did it. And then just the other day, I was actually thinking, you know what? I'm not going. Can't do it. It's just actually a waste of money for me just to go up back to the States because I'm already going up there for a podcast conference. So I logged on to my Qantas, John. You'll be proud. Click cancel ticket. They refunded me the whole money.
Wow.
So I'm going to stay in Australia and work.
Wow, that is big of you. Mm.
Yeah, because I was just going because I wanted to.
Yeah.
And what I'm getting at is I keep saying this. Just because I host a freaking money podcast doesn't mean I'm above any of this crap, right? Like,
we know.
This is real, folks.
This is real. So it's almost like I use the thousands of people to help keep me accountable. And
so you can tell those stories.
Yeah, that too, I guess. But I feel good because I just, you know, you do something and you know you shouldn't be doing it. Mm. And you got that weird gut feeling and you ignore it. But I'm like, nah, not doing it. So thankfully, I don't know if it was the ticket or my status with Qantas or whatever, but they let me refund it 100%.
Yeah. So good.
Surprising.
You said no to FOMO.
I said no to FOMO.
Great.
And I had FOMO so bad.
But now you don't. You've overcome that.
I've overcome FOMO.
Is it because of, do you think, maturity or did this podcast help you through these times?
Yeah, I just think it's that. What are you doing leading the witness, are you? No, I just think it's that just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
And that's a good, I was just good going plan. Because I have all the time in the world and I've got the money to do it. But it was to no real benefit. Yeah. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because then I'm thinking like, so I was going to go to Nashville and watch Ben judge the Golden Bean Coffee Championships and all that and just float around and then go to LA for a while. And I'm just thinking, by the time I get Airbnbs, because I booked a 5-week ticket, I was out of here. And I'm like, that's just going to be thousands of dollars just wasted.
Crappy coffee over that way too.
No.
Is it good?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a real coffee culture happening in the States.
All right.
And it's actually hard to come back to Australia to get used to espresso-based long blacks when I basically have filter coffee out there all the time.
Right.
So, yeah, it is real, John. Yes, it is realness. Yes. So, thanks, Shell, for popping in.
Great. It's great to hang out. I'm glad to be doing this podcast for the first time.
All right, no, I'm telling everyone.
It seems that I've seen you before.
I'm telling everyone.
I've seen you in another world.
Confessions of a first-time podcaster.
Yeah, we actually, this is the second time we've recorded this. We all.
Take two.
We all weren't happy with the first version. Is that polite of me?
That's
technical glitch.
Technical glitch.
Technical glitch.
Yeah, that's right. Editing issue.
Yeah, editing issue. But anyway.
So here we are.
And thank you, Shell, for giving us your time and expertise. So I guess, and also, I'm not a light. So without further ado, what is it? Without further ado or further ado?
Further ado.
Is it?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Without delay, let's get straight into
rock and roll.
So, without delay, let's get. That's all right. Just trying to edit a podcast on the fly over here. Okay. Shelley, you work in human resources, or as we call it on the street, HR. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So, I've worked in HR for about 10 years, primarily in the not-for-profit sector. And it's a pretty fun gig, I would say. You see the best and worst in organisations and in people. And I think as part of the role, I've loved actually seeing how different people approach the conversation around pay. So I've seen lots of different staff ask for a pay rise, and some have done it really well and effectively, and then others have done it not so well. And so from those learnings, I think it's a great opportunity for us to talk about what does a good pay conversation look like and how do you actually go about asking for a pay rise? So I'm keen that we're here today talking about that.
Yeah. And are you, do you want to just elaborate that you're a mum of a bub and you've Yeah. Just touch on that as well.
Yeah. So I have a little girl, Sunny. She's nearly two in a couple of weeks.
Wow, that went fast.
I know. It goes.
Time flies.
It does.
Mm. It goes fast. And so work full time, mum full time. So you know what it's like, crazy times. Well, actually, do you know what it's like?
No. Then actually, we wouldn't have a clue. But no. You reference as third party.
Yeah. But there I'm sure there's many, many, many people listening.
That's right.
Who know what it's like.
Yeah.
So the hustle's real for you, Shel.
Yeah. No, it's good. I enjoy it. It's lots of fun and it feels crazy sometimes, but all good.
Yeah. Mm. You say hi, they say yo. Hey, yo, hi, yo, ho.
Is that how it goes?
And then you've got 10 seconds left.
And then we've run out of time.
So it goes really well.
So you say hi.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Shel, how are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, I was
working hard or hardly working over there?
Both.
Yeah, nice.
I just wanted the opportunity to talk to you about my role, and I would love to kind of unpack. Oh, sorry, can I start again?
Yeah.
Thanks. Hi, Glenn.
Hey.
This is much harder when you're doing it. Okay.
All right.
We can have this blooper reel at the end of it. This is how easy it is to talk about pay. It isn't. It's terrible.
No, exactly.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Shel. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, I was just...
How's the plumbing parts department?
Okay, the plumbing department.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
No, well, I'm the manager. You're a worker. You're coming to me for money.
Let's start again.
Right. But I need to, if you want to roll this, what do they call it? Like a, what do they?
Role play.
Role play, yeah.
Oh, do you want to role play it?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why are you saying the plumbing department?
Well, because you're a worker and it's real world and you're a plumber fitter thing.
Oh, that's going to be confusing,
okay.
That one.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay. I think how are you's fine.
Okay.
I think that's what you said. Hey, right. Shirley, how are you? I'm good. I need more money. You jerk. I hate working for you.
All okay, right, seriously. Sorry.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Shel. Sharkies had a good win on the weekend, didn't they?
They absolutely did. Because I'd love to hear your perspective as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Look, I'll get David, my PA, to shoot you an invite and we'll lock that in for next Thursday. Look, please, if I forget between here and the office, follow me up if you don't get an invite this afternoon.
I will. Thank you so much.
Look, it is my pleasure.
Good times.
All right. So that was the... Yeah.
We're all done.